you've created, you know, and helped create many tools for creating music over the years. And but you also recorded lots of interesting music in this same time. So do you see yourself more as a musician or more as an engineer? Probably when it comes to electronic music, you know, these two sides aren't really separated.
It's a difficult question. I think what is more important to me is the artistic side. Mm-hmm. But I also found that engineering is an artistic thing to do also, because there you can find beautiful solutions for problems, and you can find solutions which are have their own aesthetics, and that's also part of being creative. Mm. But if I have to choose between creating tools and making music or making my own art, I would always
choose
art. Yeah.
Mm. You know, in the past, it seems that studio every artist created for themselves sort of determined their musical aesthetics as well. And I guess that nowadays, you know, or in those early days, you were aware of the possibilities you had with the limited amount of the tools that were around, and you had to take that in consideration. But what was the turning point, you know, when you discovered that you will have to develop your own tools to be able to execute your ideas?
Our special case, the one thing which was really missing was a solution to perform electronic music. This was something which was not really supported by existing commercial products. Yeah, I mean, people used to put their whole studios on stage. And
you saw any of that stuff? What do you mean, whole studio, like synths and sequencers?
Exactly,
and
like really lots of machines. And mm-hmm.
Who was doing this? Did you see any of these shows?
Well, like in the 70s and 80s, where people had all these big machines on stage. Mm-hmm. And then in the...
You mean bands like Tangerine Dream?
Tangerine Dream is a perfect example, of course, yeah. Mm. And then there was this time where people started using computers, but still the idea was that it's some linear thing. So you press play and things just play. And we always try to come up with ideas which allow us to improvise. And
in a live context.
In a live context, yeah. But also in a studio, just as a way to work. Mm-hmm. You know, we always like the idea that the computer is something which runs and creates a structure, and you are in this conductor perspective where you say, okay, I change the structure. And for us, the essence of electronic music was always having access to something which changes the structure. So the computer is the musician and I'm the conductor, and I tell the musician, now play something else. Mm-hmm. And this is was the basic idea of how...
And you stuck to this idea until today?
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's still the way how I make music on stage, that I try to have access to the big picture. And of course, I'd also like to have access to details, but the big picture is the more important thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays young producers have a wide range of tools for creating or to choose from, and yet it somehow seems harder for them to come up with something unique. Now that you teach music in an art school, if I'm not mistaken, what do you tell your students, you know, is the most important thing they must pay attention to when they start making their own music?
Actually, to stop thinking in tools and just start listening to their ideas, so that make clear to them that what really counts is the idea. So the big question is not what are you doing. The big question is why are you doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you find an answer for the why, then everything else will follow up.
Mm-hmm. But started. You already said that you saw all these shows where people brought their studios to the stage. But who did you get inspired by? When was the turning point when you thought to yourself, now is the time I try and make something on my own?
Well, I was always interested in electronic music since I was a teenager and saw people like Kraftwerk, and I was just amazed by the kind of sounds they made, and the style, you know, music without vocals, music that are not songs. Mm-hmm. This was something which I found very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Some different kind of music than the classical pop and rock song. And but I never thought that I could become a musician of some sort. So I come from an engineering background, and as a result I studied sound engineering and computer science, and music was just a little hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years it more and more turned into the main thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, for many German electronic musicians, you can sort of tell that they are German because they have this tradition of German music, German electronic music. You can hear it through their music. But with you, I think it's a bit different. Maybe with the early albums, it was more obvious that you were inspired by all these German, even mm-hmm. krautrock bands. But then later, especially when you started doing rhythms that went out of this straight dance floor mm-hmm. stuff, it seems that you were inspired maybe by some other stuff as well. You were somewhere in between German tradition and British new tradition, you know, that turned up in the 90s. Is that so?
This makes total sense to me, yeah. Because as a matter of fact, I always enjoyed going to drum and bass parties and to listen to breakbeats and stuff like this. And at the same time, I also enjoyed the straightness of the German minimal techno groove, and I tried to make something which is somehow influenced by both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, with this current project, Ghosts, you're collaborating with Tariq Bari. You know, does the collaboration narrows down the various possibilities? What do you have in mind, you know, when you start working with a visual artist?
Oh, I started really pragmatic. I felt that it would be nice to have a visual side, because you always have a visual side. You cannot deny it. You know, people go to a concert and they look at you, and unless you turn off the light, which other, like Ortegra...
They performed, in fact, I think last year or maybe a couple of years ago uh-huh. in the same place.
And it was completely dark. Yeah, yeah, of course. So this is one strategy.
The other is maybe...
And the other is to try something with the fact that people look at things. And I just met Tariq because I was looking for someone who could program. And he showed me his visual stuff. And I thought it, and I saw it, and I thought, well, actually, this maybe it could work that we work together. Yeah. And it just happened. So it didn't start with a big concept. It started just with two people who have very similar ideas how to work on a technical level, which for Tariq is as nerdy as I am. So we both we can talk about technical details, and at the same time we have a nice way of interacting artistically. So we can talk about artistic stuff in a very nice way.
Mm-hmm. And when did you meet? Was this prior to when you started recording the album?
Yeah, this was earlier, and he just came into the studio production. He was not involved at all. He's just involved in he's involved in the live performance. And after the album was almost finished, we started talking about the live situation, and we basically listened to all the tracks and made notes for each track and discussed how it could look like, what we could do on stage, and tried to come up with a concept. And mm-hmm. Now we played the show, I think, maybe 7-9 times. And what we're probably gonna do at some point in the next 2 months or so is to revise it, like to look, okay, how far did we, how much of what we wanted to achieve we did achieve, what worked out well, what is not so working so well. And then we make basically a version 2 of the tour.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of building up as you go from show to show.
Yeah, it's each evening we change a little bit, you know.
In progress.
Absolutely. It's always like this, and it's part of the fun.
Mm-hmm. Because it seems, you know, I saw some promotional videos for this tour, and it seems that things are pretty much predetermined. but obviously that isn't so.
No, we took a lot of effort into making it possible that we can still improvise. So
you react to video and Tarik reacts to music?
Or? I react to video because I can look at it. Mm-hmm. So if I feel like something is great musically and visually, then I can just put my hands off and can say, leave it for a little bit longer like this. Mm-hmm. And Tarik can react both by himself, by just moving his own faders. And there's a lot of connections. So when I... Tarik's computer gets a lot of data from my computer in a technical way. So if Tarik doesn't do anything, then it still runs the basic show, but I can still jump from A to B and move back and forth and can add new elements. Mm-hmm. So the video is pretty much a slave of the audio, but at the same time, if Tarik feels like he can basically override everything and can add or change stuff on mm-hmm. the fly.
And how much did this entire show change, you know, from your first performance until today? Is it much different than it was?
Actually, it's from a structural side, it's not very different at all. But from the effect it has, I think it's much, much better, because it's like playing a show is a little bit like playing an instrument. You have to learn it. So now I know my piece is much better. So I know in this piece it usually works better for the audience if I make a break here, and I know that it works very well if the snare here is louder than I usually wanted to do it, and if the audience really goes well, then I can repeat this part. And so I know my own music very, very different now, because I listen to my own music with the ears of the audience. Mm-hmm. And so I perform the same pieces in the same order of pieces, but on a good night, I feel that it makes much more sense than it did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And for the visual side, it's the same. Tarik is constantly changing things, like details, and we talk about after a concert. Like, you know, I look at the screen, and after the concert, I tell him, hey, at this piece, I really feel that after the break, there needs to be a short segment where it's all white. And then Tarik says, yeah, I thought about it, but I disagree. But I have a different idea. How about this? And I say, yeah, I like this. And
it takes lots of compromises. It takes a lot of time for you to find a compromise.
We don't see it as a compromise. We just see mm-hmm. it as every time again as an experiment. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes you think you know exactly how the audience reacts, and you know exactly how everything is going to be. And you play the next night, and it's different. Mm-hmm. That's part of the beauty of really performing, that there's always something new going on.
Right. So this is one aspect of, as you said, you can put, when it comes to putting electronic music into a live context, you can do it either with visuals or in a dark, like Kotekar does, as you said. But then there's another thing that turned up in the past years. We saw Moritz von Oswald with his trio in this place as well. And, you know, what do you think of this? He's like an electronic music icon, and he now does a show that is closer to a band context. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you feel about this, putting electronic music into a band context?
I guess I don't think in categories. You know, it's, to me, it comes down, if a concert is touching me, it touches me, and it doesn't matter if it's a band or if it's five violins or a solo cello player or...
Did you see him, Moritz, perform with his trio?
Actually, I never saw it. I mean, of course I know the records, but I never saw them.
It gets quite interesting. Lots of... It's kind of the same idea, but, you know, turns out to be a different experience altogether.
I can clearly see that this can develop a nice energy.
Mm-hmm. And tonight you're playing, performing, not together, but one after another with The Field, who does a sort of same concept. He's basically an electronic producer and does a live show with, I think, a live bass player and a drummer.
Yeah,
you know his stuff?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hear it actually. So
You never saw him live before.
So it's the first premiere for me. Yeah, it's great.
Excellent. So maybe
that's one of the beautiful things of playing live, that it's one of the best ways to get exposed to other music. You know, you go somewhere, you play somewhere, and some person decided this other band or this other project is interesting, and then you play with other people, and it's you guys. Oh, nice.
And what was the last show that really, you know, that you were, that you liked it a lot? And the last live show you saw, maybe, do you remember it? Something that really struck you?
It was not the last, but one live show which particularly hit me because I didn't expect the energy was, it was last year. I saw Ben Frost performing live. And
never saw him. Does he plays with computer or
the main thing was really just guitar and lots of effects, but it was what I found so amazing was that it's the same thing I find amazing if I listen to a Fennes concert. You have this very interesting little details going on in the music, very crafted textures, and suddenly it's this massive overwhelming wall of noise, but there are still all the details in it. And then it falls back into something really small again. I just remember that this was a concert where I was really thinking like, wow, this had such a it had a very strong emotional impact. Unexpected, because I knew his records, and if you listen to his records at home, then it's kind of I like it, but it didn't have the impact at all it had
in the live context.
Yes. This was a really big surprise to me, because afterwards I thought, now I understand this music. Now I understand what makes sense here. Yeah,
but you come close to this more droney stuff on your records under your own name.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's certainly an influence there. I really like the droney stuff, and I still try to figure out what I can do with this, also in a performance context.
So maybe just one last question. You know, you had time to check out the place downstairs. Will it suit this ghost project?
I think visually it's perfect. Sound-wise, it's a bit a different setup than what I usually have, because usually I have like four speakers which are almost the same or the same, four corners, and this is more a classical cinema setup with big speakers in the front and smaller speakers around.
This is in a surround technique.
Yes. So I need to adapt a little bit, and that's why I'm a bit anxious about sound check. But I think chances are good that it's going to be really nice down there.
Excellent.
So I'm looking forward to tonight.
Okay, me too. Thank you. Thank you very much.